Yeah.
take our sins upon the cross.
So faithful you are.
You're such an awesome God.
So mighty. So holy. So wonderful.
Such an awesome God.
So
so generous,
so faithful you are,
such an
awesome God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you just take a moment to tell him, Lord, you're so awesome to us. Amen. Let's go to him together in prayer. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your grace, Lord. We thank you for your mercy in our lives, Lord. And Lord, as we look around and see the things that you're doing, Father, Lord, the great and mighty works that we're laying again before your throne and saying, come, Jesus, come. Lord, move upon lives this evening, Father. You see the needs that are represented tonight. Those that are sick in body, Lord, this needs Sister Phyllis turned in for the pain in her leg. Lord, the different ones, Father, that would love to be here tonight and are unable. Lord, those that have strayed away, I pray that you'll bring them back to you, Father. Lord, those that are sick in body, that are, Lord, suffering these terrible conditions, cancer, Lord, and Lord, chronic pains and debilitating diseases, Father, none of them are anything to you, dear God. And we put them back into your hands, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you came and you paid the price on Calvary for each one, Lord. Lord, for healing, for deliverance, Lord, for life, for salvation, for the Holy Ghost. We give it all to you, Father. Lord, every need supply abundantly, we pray. Lord, I ask that each one that's lifting their hands to you, Father, Lord, that they'll ask big things of you tonight, Lord, and that you'll repay even bigger than they could imagine. Lord, we look to you, Father. Where else could we go? We thank you for your words of eternal life, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity we have. Pray you'll bless the ministry of the word tonight, Lord. Bless the songs that are sung. Be with the tithes and the offering, Lord. Be with Brother Joe as he's away this evening. Brother Aaron as he's preparing to travel tomorrow, Lord. Touch each one, Lord, we pray. Lord, have a mighty move across your bride, we ask, Father. Each one that's gathering tonight, I pray it won't just be out of a tradition, Lord, but a yearning and a desire in each one's heart, Lord. It says, I've got to have more of you. Lord, that's our desire tonight. We love you. We thank you for the opportunity we have, Lord. We give ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Who the Son, who the Son sets free, oh, is free. A child of God, yes, I am. Oh, in my Father's house, there's a place, oh, for me. I'm a child. Oh, yes, I sing it again. Who the Son? Oh, who the Son?
Yes, I am. And in my
looking forward to your Father's house. Amen. That He's prepared a place for us. Amen. As the brothers take up the offering. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. Oh, I will shout and I will sing. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, washed like snow and free from all sin.
Woman in the Bible days her last meal almost gone. God sent Elijah to make his word known. He said, woman, don't you worry, for God sent me today. And before he even asked him, help was on the way. Just hold.
Got it all in control. You just hold on a little longer. He put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. He's got it all. He's got it all in control. And he put that reassurance way down in my soul.
got it all in control.
Can you just put your needs in his hands? Why don't we just sing that one that says,
I put my loved ones in his hand. I put my loved ones in his hand. So every road they walk down, I'm sure it's in his plan. Oh, I put my loved ones in his hand.
My Father knows what I need.
Say, my Father knows what I need. My Father knows what I need. Oh, he knows what's best for me. My Father knows. How could you explain? Oh, how could you describe? A love that goes for me.
Just think about it.
It runs as deep as it is wide. Oh, you know all our hopes, and you know all our fears, and words cannot express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. Oh, and listen to our hearts. Oh, hear our spirits sing. Oh, song of praise that flows, yes, from those you have redeemed. And we will use the words we know, oh, to tell you what an awesome God you are.
Could fall like rain. Let's stand and sing it now.
And if words could fall like rain, yes, from these lips of mine. Oh, and if I had a thousand years, I would still run out of time. Listen to my heart, Lord, every beat would say.
Oh, can you thank him tonight?
Say, I thank you for the life. Lord, I thank you for the truth. Yes, I thank you.
just go to him in prayer. Father, come to you tonight, Lord, just once again asking you to come and take control, Lord, of our lives, our body, our words, our thoughts, Lord. Lord, just ask, sometimes we don't have the words to speak, we don't have the words to say, and Lord, our heart, Lord, wants to say how much we love you and appreciate you. Thank you for all the things you have done for us, Lord. We're so thankful. So thankful for the call of God in our lives and the grace of God. And things you've done for us so many times, Lord, and stepped in, Lord, when we would have made a mistake or we would have destroyed ourselves. But your mercy and grace stepped in. We're so thankful for that. We just ask, Lord, you'll just come this evening and touch our hearts by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn to James chapter 2, if you would. Verse 14. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful of the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works has faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Amen. We'll let you be seated. Brandon would speak about this like this. He said, Abraham believed God. That's what God saw him in him, that he really believed. But then he went to acting as though it was already done. And that's what man saw in him. I want to speak on faith and action. He said, that's the same it is with us, because our works express what faith we really have. But if we're afraid to act on what we believe, then we really don't believe it. Amen. Abraham's works was expressed, his faith. It expressed his faith he had in God's promise. Now remember, Abraham was maybe 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old, and they were well stricken in age, way past childbearing. Been many, many years, and they had lived together as husband and wife since they were young and no children. But yet God told him when he was 75 years old and Sarah was 65, you're going to have a baby. And he believed God's promise. He believed it. But he also did something. He made ready for everything ready for this baby. See, that's what God saw. He saw that he believed, but man saw what he did to express what he believed. That's the same thing that works tonight, the same way it is with us. Now, there's many that think that Paul and James was at war with each other on works, but actually, it actually paints a full picture, because Paul speaks about it in Romans chapter 3 and verse 28. He says, a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. In other words, another one placed in Ephesians 2, he says, by grace you have been saved through faith, not by works. Paul is actually saying that people cannot earn salvation. Amen. By obeying a law or a certain circumcision or a ritual or some moral effort. But he's actually confronting religious legalism. And the problem he's addressing, that people are trying to earn salvation. trying to earn it and make it a thing of works, a performance. Listen, we do not have a performance-based salvation. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. Our salvation is not performance-based, but it's by accepting the grace of God that He has given to us in our lives. And therefore, we are made righteous with God by trusting in what He's already done, not by performance of rules, not by performance of regulations. But Paul also is saying that true faith will also lead to obedience. He does not leave that out, but he goes on in the same chapter in Ephesians 2. He speaks about it. He says, we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. He just said that we're not saved by works, but he said we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. And so Paul does not reject good works. He rejects trusting good works to save you. Amen. It rejects that trusting that is going to save you. So faith by itself, as James said, is if it does not have works, it is dead. James is correcting people who claim to have faith but show no changed life. Amen. They claim to have the Holy Ghost, but they don't show anything's ever changed. He's speaking about an empty belief. He said the devils also believe and tremble. Amen. Amen. People claiming faith but having no evidence that their faith is true or their faith is genuine. It's meaning of works is actually a visible action that demonstrates you have genuine faith. Amen. Real faith always produces results or produces a fruit. Amen. James is not saying works earn salvation. He's saying that faith that never produces action is not real faith at all. Amen. So Paul speaks then again of justified by faith apart from works. James comes around and he says a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. You know, they're actually using them justified in a different manner. Paul, again, is how a sinner is declared righteous to God. Amen. How God sees him and how he's declared righteous before God. And James is coming around speaking about how faith is shown to be genuine before others in your life. Amen. So Paul is talking about the root of salvation. James is talking about the fruit of salvation. Amen. So Paul, again, as he speaks about Abraham, was counted righteous when he believed God, but he also had an action to prove what he really believed. Amen. So James comes back around again. I know we're going back and forth, but bear with me for a moment. Abraham's faith was proven genuine when he offered up Isaac. Amen. He could have said, I believed all he wanted to. I believe as I believe. But if he would not have taken those steps or that action, it would have showed he truly did not believe. Amen. Amen. So there's different moments in Abraham's life. There's a faith that saved him, but there's works that proved his faith was real. Amen. We are saved by faith alone. But I want you to catch this. We are saved by faith alone. We are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves us is never alone. Come on now. We're saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves us is never alone. There's an action to it. There's something that takes place. Amen. There's an evidence to it. It's not just I believe. Amen. It's have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? There's an evidence. This is where Jesus would even come and he would speak about his works. He said, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works. For you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. In another place he said, answering to them that said in him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you are Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Amen. You would have the same actions. You wouldn't just say, I believe, but there would be something inside of you to respond. There would be something inside of you, amen, to put that faith into action. And I believe we ought to be a people not only that has faith and say, I believe, but there ought to be an action to our faith. Amen. Now you can say, well, I believe the words that said repent and be baptized. But if there's never an action to that, if you never come to repentance and you never come into the action of being baptized, there will never be the filling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There has to be an action. It has to be something applied to your faith. Now Noah, you know, his works expressed to man what his faith was in God's promise. God met with Noah and Noah said, you know, told Noah it's going to rain and I'm going to destroy the whole earth. What if Noah said, I believe you, Lord, and he just continued on? Well, I believe that's going to happen, but he just continued on. Amen. What it's the same difference if we say, well, I believe in a rapture, but we're not preparing for it. We're not getting ready for it. We're not making ourselves ready. Amen. The bride has made herself ready. There's an action taking place. Amen. Noah's, you know, it's going to rain. I'm going to destroy the whole earth. It was an impossibility, as we know there. But him being a carpenter and having that in him, and he believed what God had said, he went to work and he began to take his footage and cut the boards and find the right wood and put the pitch in it and do exactly what God told. Could you imagine what people thought of that man in that day? That man is crazy, because he said he's going to bring waters out of the heaven. There's no waters up there, but Noah didn't think about that. His works was expressing to people what his faith was and what God said. Yeah. Amen. So he wasn't a man who was just happy filling a pew. Come on, somebody. Well, I believe. No, we got to have something more than I believe. Amen. That's the reason he says the genuine Christian separates himself from anything but God's word. No matter what people think, what anybody else says, you separate away from it. If you don't, it won't be long till his works will be made known. He'll fall back and he'll slip away and he'll join this one, he'll start this one. He'll show what he really is. But if he's a genuine, if the word of God is bedded into him, it's going to bring forth the seed that's on the inside, and there's going to be an action that takes place in his life. Moses, he had a stick in his hand, and he was out there in the wilderness, and he was watching over some sheep, and he catch sight of this bush that was burning, and his voice speaks out of it and says, Moses, take that stick in your hand and go down to Egypt and bring my children out with that little switch you got in your hand. You might as well have been a switch compared to Pharaoh's army. Just lick the whole thing with this switch. What if Moses would have said, well, here just a moment, I thought I was talking to an intelligent being and the great I am that you say you are, but here the world, oh, how in the world will I ever take over with this little switch I got in this hand? I take over an army of a million men and armed with spears and fighters, and I'm not a fighter, I'm a shepherd. How can I ever do that? There wasn't no question why. It was something caught in his heart. He was a predestinated person for a predestinated moment. Amen. Gifts and callings were out. Repentance. God had told Abraham he was going to do it. Here was a ground prepared. And Brother Branham said, oh, I'm hoping I'm preaching to ground that is prepared this evening. Amen. I hope that I'm preaching to ground that's prepared. Amen. Not people that's a prepared people for a prepared moment. Amen. They're catching a revelation that it might be crazy to the world, but I believe he's coming back like he said. I believe the trumpet's going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to rise. Therefore, there's an action, amen, to our belief. So Moses, what if he just sat there in his tent the rest of his life and twiddled it with no action? Well, I believe I met an angel. I believe. No, it caused an action to take place. It caused something to happen. So Moses took his switch and went down there and took the nation out of a nation. And when he came with this stick in his hand and he told Pharaoh, let my people go, Pharaoh seen in Moses the works. But God saw in Moses the faith. Amen. And what God said to do, what God promised he was going to do, he had faith in the promise of God, that God that made the promise was going to back up his word. So he went down and took over. No other man could have done that. No other man could have done what Moses did. Moses was prepared for that moment. Noah was prepared for that. I've said this many times. I'm thankful God didn't call me to be Noah. Especially after I saw that boat, that replica. I was like, thank God this was not my job. But it had to be a man that was prepared for it. But it's no different than God preparing a people for this moment. Somebody that's going to have more than just a belief, but something anchored down on the inside of their heart that'll put what they believe into action. Amen. Here he was. He says, you know, he goes on, Brother Branham, go listen to Faith Expressed. It's a wonderful sermon. David, with a shepherd's sling, expressed to the whole Israelite army the faith that he had in his God. Now, he could have said, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. But he began to express what he really believed when he got down into that valley and started picking out some rocks. That's why they say it's more than just saying it, right? It's more than just words. This message is more than just words. This is what James was saying. What if somebody come to you needing food, needed clothing, and you say, well, go be warm and be fed. But you don't do anything to give them warmth. You don't do anything to give them something to eat. You don't go, just go be warm and be fed. Well, that sounds really good in words. But words ain't doing me no good during that moment. Come on now. Amen. Saul, he had all kind of words. His brothers had all kind of words. But David didn't come in word only. But he come in manifestation. He come in action. He come in looking and say, listen, I just don't just know the God that I serve. I don't just believe the God I serve. But there's something on the inside of me that says if I go down to that valley, the God that I serve will meet me there. Amen. It was revealed to David. And here this giant, this Philistine, this giant. David may have been just a little run of a guy. Apparently he wasn't much to look at, wasn't much to think about, wasn't much to him, because even his daddy passed him over, didn't even call him when it was time for the prophet to come to their house and to anoint a man to be a king, right? Remember the story? He didn't even call him. He looked down at all his sons and said, well, what, I know God sent me to your house. Do you not have one more boy? You not have another son? Well, I got this guy, this young guy. He ain't much. He's out there attending. Well, call him on up here. And he's anointed. And he's poured the oil over him. It was more than that. It ain't just, well, I'm anointed. Well, I've got this. It's putting it into action. It's stepping out in faith and believing what you say you believe. Amen. This is where he was at. Now, David, it was revealed to him. And here this boasting, uncircumcised Philistine out there was calling him out. He also had words. He said, Brother Ben, so we'll call him cancer tonight. We'll call him paralytic. You can call him whatever you want to. David was no match for him with any kind of weapon. With any kind of weapon, he was no match. This man's shoulders were so big. He was standing so tall. Biggest man you could ever imagine. A spear like a weaver's knee beam. And here he is. You know, it looks like an invincible force. But David was not looking at the giant. He was looking at the promise that God had put in his life. And God had anointed him to be king. God had poured. They had a prophet come and anointed him for the moment. Come on, bride of Jesus Christ. He didn't send a prophet for no reason. He sent a prophet to anoint a bride for a certain moment. Amen. I remember being down in South America. I've used this phrase a time or two, but I remember Brother Danny Steeman speaking about Goliath and the brothers, and he said they had all the quotes. He said, matter of fact, he said they was in their tents with their laptops popped up and they was trying to find a quote how to defeat this guy. He said, but God didn't need a quote. He needed a live voice. It's got to become more than quotes. It's got to become a live voice. A voice that's willing. Amen. A body that's willing to walk down into that valley. That's willing to pick out five stones and say, hey, today I'm going to cut your head off. Yes. Little David standing there with just a little piece of leather, goat skin, sheep skin, two pieces of string tie. But something had been revealed, revelation had struck him. The God that took me out of the paw of the bear, that took me out of the paw of the lion, how much more can he deliver me from an uncircumcised Philistine? Come on, somebody. Amen. The God that saved you and saved your life and filled you with the Holy Ghost, how much more can he heal your body? Amen. His brothers, they were way more able to do it. Saul, he was head and shoulders above the rest of the army. But it wasn't revealed. It wasn't a revelation. They believed it could be done. They believed that God could do it. They just didn't believe God could do it in them. Amen. But it was revealed to David there's a difference. Amen. He says, see, it's just like this right here. In that moment, he said, God could take that little boy and drop a seed of faith into his heart. That same God in this moment could take that woman from a wheelchair, this man from this situation, when that little grain of faith is revealed to you. He said, I don't care how long it takes. Notice the giant on the other side didn't believe it. Neither will the cancer believe it. He'll laugh at you. Oh, I'm a dog. Am I a dog? You send a kid out here to fight me. I'll pick you up at the end of my spears and let the birds eat your flesh. You see, that didn't shake David at all. It was revealed to him. He had faith in what he was doing, but he also had an action to the faith to carry him down to face his giant. Because that was revealed to him, he knew where he was standing. And if God would just speak right down in your heart tonight, and you'll see he'll speak, you're not going to be laying in that situation no longer. You're not going to be sitting in that chair no more. You're going to get well. There ain't nothing going to change your mind from that moment on. Amen. Hallelujah. He goes on down to Samson. He said, here's Samson caught out off guard and out there in the prairie, and here come 1,000 Philistines. And he looked down on the ground. There was an old mule that died, and he picked up a jawbone, dry as it can be, and took out after those Philistines, beating them over the head with this old dry bone of a mule. As far as I know, not a tooth ever fell out of it. And then Philistines held him maybe an inch thick, beat one end after another. Amen. But he took the jawbone of that mule and he beat down 1,000 Philistines, and the jawbone never broke. He just kept beating them. And I've always said, how dumb were they? This blows my mind. You think about it, and that kind of, you know, how stupid were they? I mean, 501? Let's get out of here. No, they waited till 1,000 of them dead. Dumb old devil. He just keep beating them. They stood up, he'd beat another. The rest of them took off the rocks. They were getting away. He believed it. What he said, I want to tell you something. Work on that pulsation. That spur of the moment, like Joshua did, Mary Magdalene, although just that moment when something is revealed to you, grab a hold of it. Amen. Yes, it was revealed to him. And he went and met those 1,000 Philistines. Now, do you think about it? Look at here, that old shrimp, he's coming again. Look at a little sissy boy. What's he got there? Just a jawbone. Whack! Down goes one. Whack! Down goes another. What was it? He was revealing to them. He was expressing to the Philistines what God had put in his heart to do. Hallelujah. I hope somebody God has put in your heart tonight to whoop some devils. Amen. Amen. Maybe you can't find but one old dried up promise somewhere, but it's still a promise. It's just waiting for somebody to grab a hold of it and start expressing to that devil what God has put in your heart. Maybe you ain't seen that promise fulfilled in a long time. It's still a promise. Has to be an action. You know, there was lepers one time that sat at a gate. Said, why are we going to sit here till we die? Let's do something about this. And they got up and they put action to their words. And they began to make an effort. And with four lepers, God caused confusion in the enemy. With four lepers. He said, see what we need to do? You need to make an effort. Get up. Amen. Get up. Well, the doctor's done all he can do. Get up anyhow. Amen. Everything's done, all they can do. The next effort, God has done all he can do. The next thing to do is for you to act and let your faith go to work in God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Well, not just sit on your hind end and say, I believe. No, it's like Brother Tim said, sometimes you got to kick yourself in the hind end and keep going, right? Keep moving. It ain't always easy. It ain't sunshine and roses, this walk that we're on. It ain't always a bunch of, oh, hallelujah, praise God, everything good. No, there's a lot of wars and rumors of wars. There's a lot of demons out there that's going to try to jump you and try to move. But I promise you, when a demon comes, there's a promise laying there. That's already the answer for your situation. All it needs is a hand of faith to reach out and grab it and start expressing to that devil what God has put in your hand. Amen. See, we've been planted, he says, in Christ Jesus, the inexhaustible fountain of life. Somebody say inexhaustible.
Inexhaustible.
Inexhaustible. Well, we have to drink. You ever heard the saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink? Go a lot of places with that. But anyway, he says, we have to start drinking, and the more you drink, the more you're going to push out. It brings out these elements, the gift that God has called you to. Well, the trouble of it is, you don't drink. You don't drink. You don't, this is a direct quote, you don't drink. Amen. Don't you believe he's the inexhaustible fountain of life? Come to me, all ye ends of the world, and drink. The devil don't care how much you come as long as you don't drink.
Amen.
He does not care how many times you sit on this pew.
Amen.
He doesn't care how many times you listen to a tape. He doesn't care how many times you read your Bible, as long as you don't drink. That's what the meeting is for now. That's what this meeting is for now, is for you to drink. Hallelujah. You know, that's why God put it, he put us here on Free Moral Agency, so we have a choice to make. You have a choice. Well, as you get older, you have choices you have to make. Do I keep going or do I just sit down and quit? Right? Because it don't get no easier, I promise you. It doesn't get any easier. I know some of you young bucks are looking away, whatever, it's all easy. I can run up and down that court and I don't hardly break a sweat. Just keep running. Brother Tim, myself, we used to run up down that court too. Maybe not that one. One worse than that one. We would run too. There would be things that happen. Now, we have a choice. Do we quit or do we keep moving? And sometimes things inside of you are wanting to just say, you know, just back off. Just stop a little bit. Just quit. And I want you to understand, I'm speaking more than just natural life here. Because there's so many times the devil's trying to get you to just stop. Just back off a little bit. He don't care if you come to churches. You know, don't drink. Don't get all involved in that. Don't get all caught up in what he's really saying. Get your mind over here and over there. Just, you know, do your Christian duty. Come to church. That, you know, be there on Wednesday night. All right, just go make the effort, but just sit there and enjoy yourself and have a good time. Just, you know, just enjoying the presence of God. But don't drink. You know, this is what, we've used this analogy before, but it's worth using again. When you have animals, you can see situations in their life. You can see, you know, they have anemias from having parasites in their body. Their eyelids are pale. Brother Tim was very good at diagnosing them. He'd tell me to go get a certain drug, a certain wormer, and to put it down. Listen, I'd go out there and I'd grab that goat around the neck. It didn't have a choice. It was taking the medicine. Right? It was going to take it, whether it wanted it, whether it bawled, whether it threw a fit, whether I had to wrestle it and throw it on the ground. It was going to take the medicine. We had to do that sometimes. You had to grab that thing and throw it on the ground. Get on top of it, stick it, and push it down his throat. Yeah, but it was an animal. God did not make you an animal. He made you somebody that has a choice. Now, we can look at you and we can see things, you know, that you need to tighten up, or you got a parasite, you got this. But we can offer you the medicine, but you have to drink. There has to be an action to your faith. I believe what Brother Timothy said. No, it's more than just believing. Take it and receive it. There's a fountain open, flowing freely. Just drink till you can't drink no more. The tree of it drink to what it's allotment. What was it? It, you know, here he said, what's the matter with Christians? They don't drink enough. We want to drink till you can spread out and you can let somebody else see it. They see your works. See somebody else see it. Push out, give a testimony. Commit it to God. Step on out. Claim God's promise. Just commit it to God. Commit thy ways to the Lord. He'll bring it to pass, whatever you want. But he can't do it as long as you're holding it and saying, well, I'll see if I get any better. I'll see if this works. You commit it to him and forget about the rest of it and go testify of the things you don't even see, but yet you believe it. It's not what you see. It's what you believe. It's not what you feel. It's what you believe. That's how you're saved, is by faith. That's how you're healed, is by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. He said, now all you with faith, you're afraid to put it to work. It won't do any good. Why not just lay aside everything that's unlike faith? Yeah. Believe and act on what you believe, not what you feel, not what your senses say. Not what they bear witness of, but what your faith bears witness of. Amen. You have faith in God? Then act like you have faith in God. Amen. Come on. If Abraham says, I got faith in God, but was afraid to offer his son Isaac, then his faith was no good. Now, Paul justified Abraham by faith. Paul was talking about what God seen in Abraham. James justified him by works. James was talking about what man seen in Abraham. Faith, God sees your faith. Man sees your works. And if you say you have faith and you're afraid to step out and make works out of it, then it don't do no good. It'll never do you any good. You've got to believe it, but you also got to accept it. And then you've got to act upon it. God can do nothing for you until first by faith you accept it and believe and confess it and act upon it. The only way God can act now is when you act first. Direct quote. The only way God can act now is when you act first. Because he's a high priest making intercessions on your confession of your faith in his finished work. He said, I don't believe anyone can find fault with that. That's the basis of divine healing. He said, you people here that's real sick, I want you to listen close now. He said, that 25 cents is your faith. Your faith is the purchasing power of your healing. If I had 25 cents, I could not eat the 25 cents. The 25 cents is not the bread, but it's the power that'll purchase it. But when you receive the faith, faith is the purchasing power of your healing. Now, if you give me the 25 cents and maybe the grocery store is 5 miles away, I can rejoice as much as the 25 cents in my hand as I have with a loaf of bread because I have in my possession the purchasing power of the bread. Now, listen, friends, when you receive faith, if you really believe it, you're just as good as healed right then, though you might not be able to move right then. Now, it's not something that you imagine. It's not something that you work up to. It's something that you possess. You have it. You can show you have my 25 cents. That's the purchasing power of the bread. And when you got the faith, you prove it by the way you act. Yes, that's right. By the way you talk. Yes. By the way you walk. Your actions prove really what faith you really have. No matter how sick you are, what about it? No matter how sick you are, what about it? I love that. You've got to first believe he does it, then confess that he's done it before he can even go to work. How many knows that? When you come to the altar, you pray to be forgiven of your sins. It isn't because you cry. It isn't because you confess. It's because you believe, and when you believe, you stand up and testify. Amen. There's an action. You go outside after you accept Christ, and that old crowd says, you ain't no different. There's nothing different, but you believe you're different. But what if you say, oh, I guess I didn't get it? Well, you got another trip to the altar coming. That's what he said. But when you believe you have, you say, yes, I am. Then you believe you're a Christian. You can show nothing that you are, but you believe you are. You believe it with all your heart. Then you confess that you are. And when you confess him and he confesses you, he's a high priest working on that. Not on your crying, not on your repenting, not on your faith, but on your confession. No matter how much faith you got, it'll never do you no good till you put works with it. For faith without works is dead. The body without the spirit is dead. And when you say, I believe Christ, then accept it and go saying so. I accept what he done for me. I accept that I'm his. But as soon as you start confessing, well, I don't know if this message is even for me. I don't know if I'm even a real Christian. I don't know. What are you? You're starting to confess all your doubts and things Satan's put in your mind and all that nonsense. And you'll go right back the other way. No, no. I believe Christ. Then accept it and go saying so. He met me here. I know he met me here. He answered my questions. He promised me he would be here. He promised me he'd never leave me or forsake me. Amen. Then you associate with those who are Christians. You act like a Christian. You say you're a Christian. You believe you're a Christian. Then you associate those that are Christians. It works righteousness. After a while, everybody knows you're a Christian because you hold your confession. You act like it. Yes. You act like it. You go down the street saying, maybe I'm a Christian. Maybe I'm not. No, you go, I am a Christian. I am a daughter of God. I am a son of God. Amen. It matters not what my doubts say or my faults may say or whatever. I am a daughter of God. Amen. He can only do as you say because he's a high priest of what you confess. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquity. And with his stripes, you were already healed. Now, any of those things, now listen, any of those things, if you're weary, upset, fretting, nervous, sick, sin, whatever it is, when you accept from your heart God is taking care of it, go confessing, it's done. Amen. Say it right until you believe it right. He said, but if you're afraid to say so and afraid to act upon your confession, no matter how many times you're prayed for, you will never get well. You've got to believe it, but then you have to act upon it. How many understands that now? Raise your hands. Amen. Only when you say so, if you're prayed for and you say, now I believe, yes sir. Now, you can't say you believe until you really do believe. But if you do, you do something not right. You can't say you believe until you're really in your heart you believe. But when you firmly have prayed through and really believe and you can say, I believe, then you accept it. Remember, he's there. He'll make anything good that you believe in your heart, he has done and will confess it. Then everywhere you go, testify, I am healed. It is done. God did it. I'm not nervous no more. I'm not upset no more. Well, Brother Timothy, I still feel that way. It doesn't have nothing to do with your feeling. It has to do with the faith that God has placed on your heart. It's time to let our action of faith become greater than our action of our feelings. We act out our feelings really good. It's time we start acting out our faith. Yes. Yes. He said, it'll never fail, I tell you. It'll never fail. It'll never fail. He said, I've seen cancer healed with it. You know, sarcoma is cancer. We got dozens, piles of letters, doctor statements, lame, halt, blind, cancer ridden, everything that can be thought of the way of diseases that have been healed. Faith. I love this one right here. Listen to how Brother Branham puts it so simple. He said, of course I see you hopping along, lady. There's something wrong somewhere. You've got arthritis. Throw that thing down and pick up Jesus Christ in your heart and say, get out of here, Satan, and get off of my body. And then walk off the platform normal and well. Do you believe it? Will you accept it? Will you act upon it? Yes. Did you hear what he said? Do you believe it? Will you accept it? Will you act upon it? Remember, she's hopping along, got arthritis, crippled up. Will you believe it? Do you believe it? Will you accept it? Will you act upon it? Okay? Stomp your feet on the floor. Stomp your feet on the floor and walk across the platform and go out of here thanking God with your hands held up in the air, shouting and praising God. Put some action to your faith. If you believe it, put some action to it. Believe that it's already done. Stomp your foot. Oh, come on. Let's have a stomping party this evening. Amen. I want some dust flying up in the air from people stomping their feet over that devil's head. They've been trying to tell you you'll never get well, never get over it, never rise above it, never. You won't see your children say, stomp your foot. Put it down on that devil and say, devil, I'm walking out of here healed. I'm walking out of here delivered. I'm walking out of here with the name of Jesus Christ firmly implanted in my life, confessing it's already done. Oh, do you want the same thing, brother? Then you take off and do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Hallelujah. Because the same Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same one. Can't you get that soaked through you? That's Jesus Christ the Son. Can you hear? Can you recognize? Then act on it. Amen. Every sick person that's in here, God has already healed you. I just felt it right there. Every sick person in here, God has already healed you. He's already healed you. Oh, God, help me, Lord. Can you recognize it? Then act upon it. Every sick person that's in here, God has already healed you when He died at Calvary. You believe that? Then stand to your feet and accept Him as your healer. Accept Him as your Savior. Raise your hands up. Go into action. Go into action. Get out of the wheelchair. Get out of your main position. Get out of your situation. Go into action. Everyone in here that's been bound by fear and nervousness and depression, get up. Rise up and say, devil, I am not tolerating that no longer. I am a daughter of God. I am a son of God. I have been bought with a price. He's already healed me. It's already done. It's already finished. Hallelujah. Noah could have come back and said, God told me it's going to rain. That's enough. That settles it. So that's just what's going to happen. It's going to rain. What you going to do about it, Noah? All right, it's God's word. He says it's going to rain. It's the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord. What are you going to do about it, Noah? Just walk around and preach about it? No, sir. I'm going to make ready for it. Oh, that would be a miracle. Days of miracles is past. So say they that believe that. I happen to be one that don't believe that. Because I also believe what the prophet of God said. He said, God is the day. He is the day of miracles. Yes. And if the day of miracles cease to exist, then God ceases to exist. Oh, that would be a miracle. The days of miracles is past. Oh, just hold on. You'll see it after a while. Well, what you going to do? I've been commissioned to build an ark for rain. And he built the ark before the rain fell. What was he doing? Acting on the promise. Acting on the promise. He said, I feel kind of Pentecostal right now, right? Real religious. Take God at His word. Act upon the promise. Regardless of what takes place, it's up to God to fulfill His word. Just start knocking the clouds. Oh, my. Oh, hallelujah. That old cloud that wants to hang over you, just start knocking the clouds. He said, lay aside every weight that was so easily beset you. Lay aside your doubts. Lay aside your fear. Lay aside your creed. Lay aside everything that's contrary to the Word of God. Jesus Christ is just the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lay aside all your doubts, all your frustration, and just keep on knocking away the clouds. The last chunk's going to come off, and He'll be standing there ready to meet you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Noah said, when I get the ark built, He will come and the rain's going to start falling. Amen. Moses, again, had to believe Him. He had to act upon it. He had to act upon what God's Word said. He wanted to see whether He was God or not. He said, well, Moses, act upon what I tell you. We got all kind of wonderful words here. Start acting upon them. So listen here. He said, if you want to know who God is, then act upon what He says here. Yes. Repent. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll become a miracle. That's His promise. That's what He said. Act on His word. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and your children. Oh, that's just for the apostles. That's for them that are far off, as many as the Lord shall, our God shall call. That's where the promise is too. Act upon His word and you'll see a real miracle. Something will take place when you act upon His word. Like Gideon did. He acted on what God told him to do and God did a miracle. He defeated the Midianites, a huge army with 300 people. Does that not sound like a miracle?
Yes.
And they didn't have to do nothing but break some pots and blow a trumpet. They didn't have to pick up a sword. Do you understand what kind of God we serve? That if you'll take Him at His word, you don't even have to pick up a weapon. You just got to believe and start acting upon what He said for you to do. Like Moses did. He did what he told. Throw down your rod. And in other words, get rid of everything that's around you. Let me have it. What's what he was telling Moses? Let me have it. He said, well, I got an awful temper, Brother Timothy. Give it to God. He knows how to quieten it. Well, I got a lot of lust, Brother Timothy. He knows how to take it away. Just put it in His hands and watch what a miracle can happen in your life. Moses had to work on the Word of God and obey the Word of God before he could see God's miracle. And after he saw it, brother, there was nothing going to stop him then. Next day, we know the story. Zipporah was sitting out on the mule, a little Gershom on her hip, whiskers hanging down, Moses' face smiling, eyes dancing. She heard her. Turned from a sheep herder to a mighty man of God, a backslidden preacher to a man of valor, going down to deliver. Look at Gideon. What happened? Yes, sir. Took down. Look exactly what happened with him. Going down here, Moses again, going down with a crooked stick to take over a nation. He did it. Sure, he did it. God told him to. No matter how unreal it seems, you just do what God tells you, and you'll find out that His word is still the same today. Just get the clouds back. The sun is already shining. Just get the clouds back. The sun is already shining. Joshua, oh, that great conqueror, the successor of Moses, a man that God loved, a mighty warrior, a man God loved. He said, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. But before the walls fell, Joshua marched according to the orders of the chief captain around the wall before the power of God struck a thing. He marched in line with the word. What did he do? He acted upon the word before he saw the miracle. Oh, we want to see the miracle, and then we're going to act good. Boy, we're going to jump and shout. No, you got to act before the miracle comes.
Amen.
Where's your miracle? Act on His word. If God be for us, where are the miracles? Really, what He's saying is, where's the people acting on His word? Because if people are acting on His word, there will be miracles. If people are acting upon, they shall lay hands upon the sick, they shall recover. There will be miracles. There will be healings. There will be deliverances. If people are acting upon the promises unto you and to your children, them that are far off, there's going to be people that are receiving those miracles. If people are acting upon, by His stripes I am healed, already healed, already done, there's going to be miracles taking place.
Amen.
We could go through many of them. Hebrew children, Daniel, had to act upon the Word. He said, if you're sick, act upon His Word. See if He heals. If you're a sinner, want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, come, repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord, but act upon the Word and see what happens. If you still got the world in you, women still wear short hair and you're still wearing makeup, you men still with tempers and fussing about your denom. That's how we get into this message, and we have people that say, I believe the message, and they still wear makeup and they still cut their hair because there's no actions to their faith. Oh, I believe. Well, so do devils believe. If you want to find out if He's still God, act upon it. Lay yourself on the altar and see what takes place. But you have to act upon His Word first. Daniel, before he saw the miracle of God, before he was ever delivered from the lion's den, the first thing he had to do was act upon the Word of God. He said, for no man to pray, but only to the king. But he turned his eyes towards his God and began to, what was he doing? He was acting upon the Word of God. Solomon had dedicated a temple and said, Lord, if that people be in trouble anywhere, they look to this holy temple, you will hear from heaven. Daniel acted first. And then the miracle followed. Thing of it is, you have to take it first, the Word. The Word is the action that you want, not your feelings. The feeling is not the action we want. As I said, we're so good about acting out our feelings. Maybe sometimes people just want sympathy because of their sickness or sympathy because of their trouble, and they're real good about acting out their feeling, how they feel. It's time we start acting out our faith. We don't come to church based on our feelings. But I promise you, most of you probably wouldn't be here if you came on your feelings. Right? Be honest. Well, I wouldn't have been here if I'd have been here on my feelings. I came here on my faith. Believing that the God, they said, where two or three are gathered in my name, He'll be here. So I came by faith, not to see you, not to see me, but to see Jesus. Because He promised He would be here tonight. He promised that He would come in this building, amen, by His Word. He promised that we have acted out, amen, we put into action by gathering ourselves, even the much more as we see that day approaching, and coming together and uniting our faith together. Why? Not to see each other, not to hear just pretty songs and pretty music, not to hear somebody just say a few words, but to see Jesus. To see Him manifested among us. Amen. To see Him doing the mighty works that He did 2,000 years ago. That He did 60 years ago. That He still does today. Because there's somebody that's standing upon His Word and putting it into action. Sister Atlanta did not go around this building on her feelings. She went around on her faith. And because she acted upon that faith, then she saw a miracle.
Amen.
Oh, it's real easy to run around a building when you got a clear cancer scan. It's a cancer scan, right?
Yeah.
Run around, shout, have hallelujah. I got it, but what about before?
Right.
What about before you ever see a rock fall off the wall?
Right.
You start shouting.
Amen.
Praising God and giving Him glory and honor. And hallelujah, and thank you, God, you brought me here. Thank you, God, you're with me. Thank you, God, you promised you'll never leave me or forsake. I might be in the darkest valley I've ever been in. I might be in the hardest trial I've ever been in, but I'm not here by myself. I'm here because you led me here. I'm here because you have brought me to this place, amen, that you can show me what a true miracle is. You can show me who you really are. We can see a God who's ready to act when we act. He watch it. We can follow this pattern all the way through the scriptures. It had to be an action. He's looking for somebody to believe him, looking for somebody to take him at his word, looking for somebody to step into the water. Looking for somebody to reach and grab a hold of what he promised and hold on to it. Not just, I believe. It's so easy to say that. I believe. Sometimes it's a whole lot harder. It is a whole lot harder to actually step into that water before you see it open. Sometimes you feel like you're right up to your nose and you're about to go under. There's a hand of mercy. He's been watching for you and waiting. He waited till they got into the fire.
Yes, he did.
He didn't show up when they was talking to the king. Oh, three Hebrew children, oh, king, live forever. But we're not going to bow. Because you know why? Fourth man is here.
Yes.
We see him. No, they ain't seen nothing. They just believe God's word.
That's
right. Thou shalt have no other graven image before me. It was not going to bow to anybody but their God. The true one living God. Amen. But he didn't show up till they came into the fire. He's good at that. He'll allow you to go right into it and there, boom, there he is. And you'll realize that fire was only for your good. It only killed your enemy and burn off your bands. And set you free that you can have fellowship with the fourth man. It takes a fire to produce a fourth man. It takes a Red Sea to produce a God who can open it up. It takes the walls of Jericho to produce a God who can tear them all down. Come on, it takes a man who's willing to stand upon the word of God and willing to act upon it and not be scared about it. And well, I don't know. I just don't understand. I don't understand. Listen, forget about what you do or don't understand. Forget about your intellectual knowledges or what you think or what you don't think. Forget about all of it. Devil whoop some of our young ladies around upon their feelings. I don't feel worthy. I don't feel like I'm a part. I don't feel, and some of our young men, I just don't feel loved. You don't feel loved? How much more could he do to show you that he loves you? He died for you. He gave his life for you. So you got to change that. We want to say, read the scripture because God so loved the world. You need to change it to God so loved Timothy Pruitt.
Yes, yes, that's why.
God so loved Joshua Butts. God so loved Delaney. God so loved Jackson. Put your name there. God loved me. That's why he came. And I love him. That's why I believe. And I confess. And I act upon what he said. And I know that he's going to bring it to pass. No matter what my feelings say. No matter what I see around me. No matter how dark it may seem. No matter how bad it may look. And it may look impossible. But so it was for Noah. And so it was for Moses. And so it was for every person through the Bible. Impossible. But we serve a God of impossibilities. And I believe he's in this building this evening. Amen. To make somebody believe that there's still a God here who does the impossible. Let's bow our hearts. Tons of more pages. He says here, he says, I might not have just the time for everyone at the platform. But everyone can benefit by it. If God can prove himself here to be God, and what has confirmed what I've said to be the truth, then believe God. But then act on your faith and put your faith as a living action. And God will go to work on you right there and will make you well then. What are you getting at, Brother Timothy? Brother Branham's time on earth ran out. He didn't have time to pray for everyone. He didn't have time to reach everyone. But he showed us over and over what will work, what does work. It ain't faith in a man. It ain't even faith in a gift. It's faith in God's word. That God will perform what he said he would perform. God will do what he said he would do. God will move the mountains if you believe. God will open the seas. God will tear down the walls. God will set every captive free. He saw you bound down with that depression. He saw you in that anxiety. He saw you with those hormonal problems. He saw you with all the whatever issue you came to church with tonight. He saw you. Now, do you want to get well? Well, Brother Timothy, I ain't been prayed for. I ain't got nobody to take me to the water. That ain't what Jesus asked the man. He asked him, do you want to get well? Then what did he tell him to do? There's an action you got to do. Rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. Take up your bed and go home. Yes, Lord. Maybe you feel like this is my night. Well, do you want to get well? You want to move past it? Rise up and walk. Leave it behind. Lord, I come to you to be changed, renewed. He's looking for your actions. God, changed my speech. Lord, I always expressed my doubts and my fears and my unbelief. But Lord, changed my thoughts and my thinking and how I speak. I can just speak your word, Lord, and I can say yes to all your promises. I can say yes, I believe. But it's more than just words. It's an action to it. Put it into action in my life. You notice he didn't tell that man to go get somebody else and pick up his bed and walk. He told that man to pick up his bed and walk. He told that man to rise. He told that woman to stomp her foot and walk off well. He's telling you tonight, rise and be healed. Rise and be delivered. Rise and be set free. Let God do this perfect work in you and act upon his faith that's inside of you. Father, or just a little thought you put on my heart. I believe this is a year of action. Not resting upon our laurels and, well, bride's going to be raptured. Dead in Christ is going to rise. It's going to happen. Lord, the bride is making herself ready in anticipation and looking, believing, but not just believing, but acting upon your word and receiving what you promised. Confessing you, Lord, to be the healer and deliverer. Oh God, there's so many voices that's going out in this world and this land, even around message circles, Lord, claiming that you're not a God of miracles anymore. Not no signs and no wonders, no manifestations. Oh God, they can say what they want to say. They can believe what they want to believe. They can sit in their tents with their quotes and they can argue back and forth. But Lord, there's got to be somebody that's willing to face giants. Has to be somebody that's willing to face the giant of cancer and the giant of unbelief and the giant of death and overcome it, Lord, and not die, Lord, but be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Oh Jesus, help us, Lord, to be that bride that makes herself ready. Help us to be a church of action, Lord. Not just believe only, resting upon that, but Lord, more than just a belief. But there's a life inside of us that's demonstrating the very power and works of Almighty God. Oh, God, bless your people tonight. Lord, you see those, Lord, responding in their faith. I ask God, you just show yourself so real to them that they'll never back up. They'll begin to confess, I'm healed, I'm delivered, I'm set free. Oh, God, it's over, it's finished. It's already done because you promised it. Lord, I'm going to stand on your promise. In Jesus' name. And touch the Lord as he goes. How many wants to just reach out and touch him tonight?
Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You will find he's not
too busy. Oh, he heard your heart cry. And he is passing. Out to you, Jesus. Oh, as he passes
by,
oh, you'll find
he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply.
Touch the Lord.